God is good. He's good all the time. If you woke up this morning, you woke up with breath in your lungs to praise Him, to give Him every praise. The battle belongs to the Lord. I don't know what you've come in here this morning facing, but I want to tell you that irregardless of the battle you face, the battle still belongs to God. See, the victory, it's already been won. And so right now what I'm going to do is I'm going to welcome the Holy Spirit into this place. You know, I can talk and talk and talk until the cows go home, but I'd prefer if the Lord just said what He wanted to say this morning. So if you'd bow your head, dear Heavenly Father, God, I thank You, Lord, for every single person, God, that's in Your house this morning. God, there is nobody here by accident, but God, You knew exactly who would be in Your house today. God, You know exactly who's watching on Facebook Live. God, I thank You right now that chains of addiction, God, are being broken right now. Lord, I speak to depression right now, and I tell it to be bound up and to leave Your people, God, in Jesus' name. Lord, I thank You for every person, God, and they say, Lord, I need a healing in my body. God, I lose healing in this place right now in Jesus' name. Lord, I thank You for Your peace that passes all understanding. God, it's guarding our heart. Lord, it's guarding our mind. And Holy Spirit, I welcome You here this morning. And I thank You that every person here, they leave changed, God, forever. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm so happy to be in God's house. I've waited all week to be here with you. And I preach out of the overflow of what goes on in my life. And I do that because I know that. I do that because I know that. If you've ever heard a pastor or a preacher try and attempt to preach about something that they don't know about, it's really a stretch. I don't like to hear people that don't know what they're talking about. So there's certain subjects that I ain't going to preach about because I don't know about them. I'm going to preach what I know. What I know is that the battle belongs to God. The battle belongs to God. See, stop taking what don't belong to you and let God take what's His. It's already His. It belongs to Him. And so today, I want to minister about the battlefield. I want to tell you that this is not a playground. This life that we're living, it's real. Life has a habit of getting real. I mean, you could be going on and everything just is wonderful. And you have what you would say, well, I don't really have a lot of problems. And then, bam, out of nowhere, you find yourself in the trial of your faith. So today, that's what I would like to minister on, is what do you do when you get there? See, a pastor, you can stand behind a pulpit and you can blabber on for an hour, but unless you give somebody something to apply to their life, that's a problem. Amen. So what I want to do is this morning is take you to 1 Samuel chapter 17. We're going to begin to look at verse 32. I want to tell each person that's listening to me, however you're listening, God loves you. I want to tell you that you've not gone too far. You've not done too many number 10s. All right? God loves you so much. If you found yourself in the middle of a mess this morning, I want to tell you that God is the best at what He does. He is the best at taking our messy lives and turning them around for our good and for His glory. For our good and for His glory. So I want you to stop looking at your circumstances, and I'm going to encourage you this morning to begin to look to the only one that can help you. Your mama can't help you quite like Jesus can. All right? Let's go to 1 Samuel chapter 17. And mamas can help a lot. I'm not belittling mamas, but I'm going to tell you, there's some stuff that we get up in. You ever been through some stuff? I have got myself into more stuff. And I'm going, God, please don't stop being God. Because, see, I've really got some problems up in here. Lord, help me. I got myself into these problems. Let me tell you something. There's two types of problems. The first problem is the problems that you get yourself into. We're very good at that. And the second set of problems is you're going on in your life, and through no fault of your own, you didn't cause those problems, but nonetheless, the problems came to your household, to your family, to your life. And I'm very sensitive to that this morning. There's people you didn't do, you didn't cause what you're living in the middle of. And for that, I want to tell you that I'm so sorry. I'm compassionate for the person. They say, now, God, what did I do to deserve this? Look here, nothing. It rains on the just and it rains on the unjust. At the end of the day, God is still God. God is still God. He's still exactly who he said that he is. And so that right there is enough hope to get you through to the other side. Jesus said, let us go to the other side. So this morning, I'm scooping all my babies up and all the little sheep. And I'm saying, now look here. We all going. We're going to take a group trip. We're going to take a road trip. And we're going to the other side of some things. Okay? Because see, I want you to prosper and be in health in every single way. In your families, in your marriages, in your children, in your businesses, in your life, in your mind. Okay? So 1 Samuel chapter 17, we're going to start at verse 32. I'm going to set the scene here. Here is David. David is the one that God says, now that's a man after my own heart. Boy, David, he did some stuff in his time. He really did some things. And he kept it real. I love people that'll just keep it real. He did some stuff. When he was a young man, he tended his father's sheep. And there was a giant who was terrorizing everybody. And I want to tell you something. Don't allow your giant to terrorize you any longer. I don't care what the giant looks like. I don't care if it's the giant of a problem in your finances, a problem in your health, a problem in your relationships, a problem with your children. See, giants, they have many faces. They do. God is still bigger than all of them. So here is little David, and he hears that there is a giant, and he knows that all the men, they're out there, and they're trying to take care of this giant, and they're not being very successful. Now, there was a part of David. He liked to know what was going on. How many of you like to know what's going on? If you hear something, you're like, I'm going to call Sally Sue. I'm going to figure out what's going on. I want to know what's going on with Sally Sue. Because I'm nosy. Really, let's tell it like it is. Got any nosy people up in here today? Good, I'm among friends. And I'm glad everybody's being honest because I was about to have to shift this service and catch that lying devil out of you. No, I'm kidding. I don't want your hate mail. Pastor Kelly said I had a demon and it was lying. No, I didn't. I recant that statement. No, I'm just kidding. Let's read. I'm going to get myself in more trouble. All right. So we're talking about David, and he wants to know what's going on. Okay. So verse 32, it says, David said to Saul. So here's David. He makes his way up there. He had a little argument with his brother. His brother said, why are you so nosy? You just had to come up here like little brothers do. And he got on to him. And David kind of spat back. You know how siblings are. Me and my sister, we do that all the time. Then we get over it. Okay, brothers are born for adversity. I don't know what sisters are born for, but boy, we've had some spats in our lifetime, haven't we, Casey? We have. Guess what? We've gotten over every single one of them. But here's David, and he gets in there, and he starts talking to King Saul. He starts talking to him, and he says something very important. He says, Saul, let no one lose heart on account of this Philistine. Let nobody lose heart on the account of this giant. And I want to tell you this morning, look here, stop losing heart over the giant that's presented itself in your life. Stop losing heart when that thing bears its ugly head and it knocks on your door. So many people, they see that trouble and it's coming to them and they want to run like little girls. Look here, when God saved you, he didn't make you a little sissy. He didn't. He made you well able. He told you that, look here, when all you can do is stand, that's all you have to do. So I'm telling you this morning, we're going to hit some key points on what do I do in the battlefield. See, I'm not big on getting up here and just talking, because anybody can just talk. But by golly, I believe wholeheartedly that the Word of God is living and that it's active. So when the Word says the anointing breaks the yoke, if I can get the anointing to flow in this place, I believe that the anointing, it will break the yoke that's wanting to come on God's kids. So by golly, we're going to talk about that this morning. And the first thing about what to do in the battlefield is this right here. Don't lose heart. Don't lose heart. What is losing heart? Telling yourself this is a permanent thing. This ain't permanent. You're going through it. You're going through it. There's days you're going to have to crawl through it. Daddy God is right there. There's days you can pick yourself up. Let me tell you something. If you fall a million times, get your second wind, pick yourself up. Pick yourself up. If you'll keep picking yourself up, you're going to stay winning. You're going to stay winning. See, God already told you He has victory. You can't just sit there. Look here. You got to get it. Get up. Say, in Jesus' name, devil, I take the victory today over my thoughts. In Jesus' name, devil, I take the victory and the authority and the dominion that God told me that I have. And I say, in Jesus' name, I'm healed. In Jesus' name, this problem, it's going away. In Jesus' name. See, there's a name, and it's above every single name. Every knee will bow. Every tongue has to confess. See, this thing is winding down. That's why I don't get up into the politics of different denominations. Now, I'm not saying anything bad about it, but what I am saying is every faith is welcome in this place, because at the end of the day, what I really want to get around and known is, are you saved or are you not? Because if you're not, see, I'm going to work on you. I'm going to work on you. Are you Baptist? Welcome up in Paris Christian Center. Whatever you are. If you're Pentecostal, praise the Lord. Okay? I'm not hung up over that stuff, because you know what, Dale? There's something else to be hung up over. It's called this life. We're going to make it through this life. We're going to get to the next one. And we ain't going to piddle around it with the stuff that's in between that. Okay? I'm not that pastor. Okay? I've been in ministry my whole life. I've seen the good, bad, and ugly with it. And there's things they ain't even worth getting up in the middle of. Why? Because they don't change a darn thing. They don't change nothing. We all just people. We all have our issues, and we all have battles that we face. So the thing I want to tell you this morning is, don't lose heart. Don't lose heart. Don't lose heart. Don't lose it. If you say, I done lost my mind, no, go get it back, sister. Go get it back, brother. You need it. Don't be giving people peace of your mind. If you're anything like me, you can't spare no more pieces. All right? Don't be doing that. You need those. Okay? So here's David. And he says to King Saul. See, Saul wasn't just a man. He was the king. And he said to Saul, let no one lose heart on the account of this Philistine. Your servant will go and fight him. Your servant will go and fight him. Look here. Child of God, know who you are. If this world will do anything to a person, it'll steal your identity in so many ways. You'll wake up one day and you won't know who you are because you done faked everything on Facebook. You done faked everything with your friends, with your coworkers. You done faked your way. Fake it till you make it. That don't work. That don't work. Because you know what that will do? That will confuse you. And one day you will wake up and you will think, who the heck am I? I don't know. Do I like scrambled eggs or do I like them sunny side? I don't know, because Sally Sue always gets something. I just get what she gets. No, be you. Be you. Get through this battle. Get through the battle. First step, don't lose heart over that giant anymore. Don't lose heart. When your mind wants to go to that place that tells you it's never going to get better, you get yourself and you renew your mind. How do you renew your mind? You go back. This is the only time I ever encourage people to look back. Look back and say, God, last year when I went through that problem, you were there. God, you got me through. Lord, when the doctors told me something I didn't want to hear, God, you were there. God, you came through. See, look back. What you're going to find when you look back and you're renewing your mind is you're going to find He has a perfect track record. Not only does he have a perfect track record, but he's always on time. He's always on time. Now, notice I said he's not on your time schedule. Lots of times I'm going, God, you're late. I've been uncomfortable in this situation for too long. Look here. A lot of them situations, they making you for what you're going to next. You uncomfortable? That's probably God. He's brushing some rough edges off of you. I've been in some very uncomfortable situations. Hated every minute of it. Come out of them and see, man, God so loved me that he allowed me to go through that. Not only did he allow me to, but he was with me every step of the way. Am I saying God creates your problems? No, but what I will say about our problems, he capitalizes on them. He's going to turn them around. He's going to turn them around. And so here's our boy David, and he says, don't let this giant make you lose heart anymore. I'm going to go take care of him. I'm going to go take care of him. And so it says here, but David said to Saul, your servant has been keeping his. So then what he has to do is he makes a statement, and he says, I'm going to take care of this. He was tiny. He's a little boy. He was a little squirt. And here's these grown men, and they're like, where's David? He's got our lunch. We're not taking care of this guy. Nope. So here's David, and so he says a statement. He says, I'm going to take care of him. Well, then he has to proceed, Brother John, with explaining why he can. See? Explaining how and why. So he says, but David said to Saul, your servant has been keeping his father's sheep, and when a lion or a bear came and carried off a sheep from the flock, I went after it. I struck it, and I rescued the sheep from its mouth. And when it turned on me, I seized it by its hair, struck it, and I killed it. Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, because he has defied the armies of the living God. The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will deliver me from the hand of the Philistine. You know what David knew? He knew at the end of the day it wasn't just him going up against the giant. He knew that. He had a knowing. He said, the same God that helped me to do that is going to be there with this. The same one. Don't lose heart. Know God's with you. Know that he's going up into that with you. And so here we go. Saul said, okay. He didn't have a lot of takers, so he's like, well, I mean, this is the only one really volunteering. We're going to let him have a shot at it. What could we lose but a little guy? Okay. So Saul said to David, go and the Lord be with you. Go and the Lord be with you. And then Saul dressed David in his own tunic. He put a coat of armor on him and a bronze helmet on his head. And David fastened on his sword over the tunic, and he tried to walk around because he was not used to them. And David said, I cannot go in these because I'm not used to them. So he took them off. Third thing. Let's do a little recap for all the people like me that don't take notes real well. My sister's a note taker, and she goes, I really like when you're organized. Well, I mean, big sister, give me a break here. No, I'm not organized. Number one, don't lose heart in the battle. Don't lose heart about your giant. Number two, know that God's with you. Number three, stop wearing somebody else's armor to go fight your battle. To go fight your battle. See? I tell you what I do, just to keep it real. Me and Keisha, we love to keep things real. I'll call my sister or my friends or Keisha, and I'll talk to them. I'm going to find somebody going to come in line with how I want to handle things. See, you can call your friend, you can call your mama, you can get all the advice in the world, but at the end of the day, nothing that they say is really what really matters. What matters is what God says. You can't put on your mama's armor and go fight your battle. That ain't going to work. That ain't going to work. And David was a man that he knew that. He went along with them probably out of respect. Okay, King Saul, give me your armor. I get it. Let's play these politics. See, we spend too much time playing politics. We do. I'm going to get on here. People think my marriage is in trouble. I'm going to get on Facebook and show them me and my husband's just fine. Bam. Look here. We all know you're having trouble. Now you realize that you better. See, I do things all the time. I can talk about them because I'm good with it. I'm good with knowing I'm full of it. You all know it. You know I'm full of it. I'm real with it. I'll talk about all my dirty little deeds. Because you know what? If it ain't already out, it's coming out. That's what I learned. I've been preacher's kid all my life. Look here. I'm good with it. You'd have five kids. They all done the same thing. Bam. The preacher's kid made them do it. Not just the preacher's kid. That one. Okay, I did it. I want to iterate. Most of the time, Casey talking me up in it. She told me one time, you see that pretty red bug? Pick it up, Kelly. It's so pretty. It was a fire ant. The mother fire ant, let me tell you. That thing got a hold of me. Let me tell you something. I got to redeem Casey. I'm sorry, big sister. In some of my worst trials, I've called my sister and I've cried and I said, big sister, I'm in trouble. Will you pray with me? Will you agree with me? See, you can laugh in church. Church ain't the place to just be all uppity and be all, let's just be real. Let's be real. When you can be real, you can move on. Let's move on from some things. Let's get out of the battlefield that you're in and know that God's got you. But you can't put somebody else's armor. That's not going to get you anywhere. You have to be comfortable in your own skin, knowing that God is perfecting the things that have you concerned. Don't put on somebody else's armor. When I was 19 years old, I went through one of the worst things that I'd ever been through. I didn't think I would ever make it. I didn't think I would ever be whole again. And I had such a hard time because it was then that I really realized that I really didn't know God, just a one-on-one and intimate thing. I was saved. I asked the Lord into my heart when I was 7 years old. But as far as knowing God and having that intimate relationship with Him, I didn't have it. So when the trouble came, I had a very hard time. But you know what it did? It made me draw close to God. It made me know God. It made me know that He was there. It made me know that He's not going to fall through. I was driving in my car. And the devil said, I just broke your heart. And boy, I was. I was heartbroken for a very long time. But you know what, Dale? What I know is that God mended every piece. Every piece strategically scooped me up. But look here. I was living up to that point off of my parents' faith. You got to have your own faith. You can't live off of mama and daddy's faith. Because look here, when life happens, do you know how to fall on your knees and cry out to God? Do you know how to do that? Because it's a must. It's a must. Develop that relationship between you and God. Get to know Him. Don't put on nobody else's stuff. They can help you. They can love on you. When people go through things, I just try to let them know we're behind you, we love you, we're here for you. And you know what I do in my prayer closet? I say, God, in Jesus' name, Lord, bring them to a place where they know you. God, bring them to that place, Lord, where the breakthrough comes. Because, see, with fear and trembling, they've worked it out. See, they worked out their own salvation to the point that they've gotten up there in the throne room, God, and they've touched your cloak. They've touched the hem of your garment, and God, you made a move, and you made a power move. See, when you can get God to realize, look here, look, we know our kids. Do y'all got some, who's got kids up in here? Most of us. Do you know your kids pretty well? Yeah. God knows when I have no intention on doing what He tells me to do. Because I'm like, yeah, God, I'll do that. And I'm going, ain't no way I'm doing that. I don't like that person. I didn't tell God I didn't like that person. No. No, I'm not going to forgive. 3 years later, God, give me an opportunity to tell that person I'm so sorry and I forgive them, and will they please forgive me? What do you got to go through? Come to that place. Come to that place You're wearing your own armor. Do you have armor? Do you have armor? Do you have your own things? Can you get up in your closet and say, look here, today I'm wearing this victory that God gave me. Today, when I go up in the doctors, I'm going to wear the healing that God told me that I have. See, it's not a has-been thing. God is. He is. And His Word is active. And His Word is living. So if you're not in the Word, you're missing out. Because when that trouble comes, when the trial comes, you won't have anything to stand on if you haven't planted the Word of God in your heart. The Word says, now God, your Word, Lord, have I planted in my heart. See, what have you planted? What have you planted? Because whatever it is, it's coming up. You're not going to plant tomatoes and get cucumbers. Many times I find that the trouble is people haven't planted anything. They haven't planted anything in their heart. No word. Got a bunch of Netflix up in there. Look, I know what's up, okay? I love Netflix. Do I have any Netflix lovers up in there? Yeah. Okay. So why do we talk about relevant things? Because it's effective to talk about what actually goes on in life. Get off the Netflix for a second. Get off the Facebook for a minute. Get the word out. Dust it off. Open it up. There's still verses in there. Get out your smartphone. Who has a phone? Okay. Get it out. Look up Bible verses for depression. It's going to tell you where to go. Look up some Bible verses for victory. It's going to tell you where to go. Get them verses and say, okay, God, I'm not a Bible scholar, but I don't have to be. Your word says that I'm healed. Your word says that you're turning it around for my glory because I love you. God, your word says that I already have victory. God, your word says that you'll restore my family. God, your word says you're going to lead me beside some very quiet waters. God, I thank you that drama's leaving my household. God, I thank you that fear and worry, God, it's leaving my heart. God, it's leaving my mind. See, I would be a bad pastor if I said, oh, you don't got to read your word. I don't care if every seat up in here is empty. I'm going to still be saying this. Read your word. You in a battle? Read your word. Read your word. You can't put nobody else's armor on. You got to wear your own. Okay. So he said, I can't wear this. I'm not used to it. And then he took his staff in his hand. See, he took what he was used to. He took his staff. His staff. And he chose five smooth stones from the stream. Notice how many adjectives there are there. Okay? Casey, yes, I still remember what adjectives are. She's an English teacher. I'm not that old. I don't know what adjectives are. Okay? Five smooth stones. Okay? He got those, and he took them. And he put them in his little pouch of his shepherd's bag, and with his sling in his hand, he approached the Philistine. I want to point out precision, precise. God is the God of details. He didn't pick out three stones. He picked five. Sometimes we're looking at our battle and we're saying, God, I don't know how to fight this. I don't know what to do. God, I don't even know what to pray. God, I'm too weary to pray. Look here. When you up in that battle and you're in that place, know this. God is the God of precision. God is the God of precision. Diana, was not an accident that he picked up five stones. Was not an accident that they were smooth stones. Wasn't an accident. Wasn't an accident that he knew that when somebody was trying to put their stuff on him, he knew, no, this isn't for me. See, this world will try to put stuff on you. It's not that it's bad. It's just that it's not for you. Okay? And he said, this isn't for me. This isn't me. I'm not used to this. So I'm not going to be somebody that I'm not. I'm going to be this shepherd boy. And by golly, I'm going to own it. I tell Sophie all the time, Sophie, when you get up behind this microphone in this church for our God, you take that microphone, and when you pray, Sophie, you take that microphone, baby girl, and you take it and you own it. Because everything that goes on up in here is for God's glory. Sophie, when you sing, why am I telling her this? Because look here, she's going to be a powerhouse. Every kid that's going to walk up in this church, we're going to make them not be afraid of their own shadow. Why? Because, see, that's important. They're going to learn to look people in the eye and say, no, that's not right. No, it's not right. Why? Because, see, children that can do that will grow up into adults that will do that. I can't have Sophie 25 years old and not being able to do something. No, that's not good. I tell my son, you be up at those drums. You be there early, Carson. You don't get up into what you're doing for God's house 5 minutes late. No, you get yourself up over there because, see, you're going to give God glory, Carson. And if you get off beat, that's okay. Because that happens. We get off sometimes. I don't like to stand by kids during praise and worship because they're going to get me off for sure. I'm over there looking, who in this church has got the right beat? Because it ain't me. These kids done got up over here by me and they got me off. And ironically, they're all five of them clapping different. And I'm somewhere up in between that mess and I don't know how to clap. Now I'm looking. My dad taught me this when I was a kid. Because, see, back up in the day, we used to have a little, I don't even know what they're called anymore. They're so old. Overhead. Thank you, Mama. And I used to have these songs, Keisha's Mama, and it was my job to get up in here and put them songs on the overhead so we could sing. And I would say, now, Dad, I'm not a mind reader. I can't tell when you want me to change them songs. And he said, look at my feet. My foot is always on the beat. And I'm going, okay. And he goes, when I look at you and I shake my head, that means we're ready for the next song. I've always been looking at his feet. That's going to keep me on the right path. But in all seriousness, know this. If you're in a battle, don't lose heart. Don't lose heart up over that giant. God has not brought you this far to leave you right here. No, he brought you this far because you're getting over that and you're going on to something else. Don't lose heart. Don't forget that God's with you. Don't wear other people's armor. You got to know God for yourself. Put on the armor that God gave you. Nothing else is going to work. Okay, so he took those five smooth stones from the stream and put them in the pouch of his shepherd's bag. And with his sling in his hand, he approached the Philistine. So many people are afraid to approach their giant. I said it. Judge Judy. Bam. So many people are afraid to even approach the thing that's really bothering them. Well, I don't want to upset everybody. Well, I mean, is it right or is it wrong? Approach that giant. Tell it. God said in his word in Genesis, now have dominion. He didn't say, tuck that tail up in between your legs and turn into a little girl. He said, stand up. Know who you are. You're my kid. I'm with you. We're doing this. And you go to that giant and you approach it. You don't run from it. Giant knocking on your household. Open the door and say, you're not welcome here. You're not coming up into my family. You're not coming up into my job. You're not coming up into between my marriage. You're not coming up between me and my health. See, you're not going to do that. Say what you mean. Mean what you say. Let what you say be lined up with the word and you're good. So it says here, meanwhile, the Philistine with his shield bearer in front of him kept coming closer to David. And he looked David over. Look here, the giant's always looking you over. Okay? Everybody's always looking you over. Well, I don't know how she's going to get through that. She's really messed up this time. He's really done a number. Oh, my gosh. Look here. People are going to look you over. Get over it. Don't be paranoid at somebody looking you over. Be you. Be the very best version of what God has made you to be. Yeah, you're going to have people doubt you. You're going to have people say, you can't do that. Well, did God tell you you can do it? Because you can't. Doesn't matter what the circumstance looks like. If God said it, that's how it is. So David said, he looked him over and saw that he was only a boy. See, everything's saying, well, that person, they're only this and they're only that. Look here. If God said he was the one that was going to defeat him, that was enough. And so we read on, and he says that he realized he was handsome, and he despised him. He didn't like David. I didn't like that kid. And he said to David, am I a dog that you come at me with sticks? See, he was wondering, why don't you have any armor on? First of all, I'm bigger than you, and you don't even have the right equipment to even think about fighting me. And the Philistine cursed David by his gods, and he said, come here, he said, and I'll give your flesh to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field. And David said to the Philistine, you come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord God Almighty. Look here, what are you coming up against that giant with? Because everything in this life is going to say, well, you can't fix that problem with this. It may be a simple thing that God just told you to adjust. Oh, that won't work. That won't nothing. I bought a car one time, and it blew up like 90 days after. And I said, for a second, I was like, okay, they're saying they're gonna make this right. Okay. And then I went to bed that night. I didn't really go to bed, and I thought on that. And I thought, that's not good enough. I don't want that thing. It done blew up once. I don't care if they do put a motor up in there, a brand new one. I said, no. What you're going to do is you're going to give me a brand new one, and you're going to look, and you're going to find a black one, because I had a black one. You're going to find one that has the same interior, because that's what I had, and you're going to find one with the luggage rack, because I paid extra for the luggage rack, okay, which we never used. I always needed accessories, and I didn't even use that one. And I fought with him, 2 weeks. And I kept telling him, you're going to give me a new one. Well, we've never done that. We can't start doing that now. In the 30 years we've been open, Kelly, we can't do that. And I hung up the phone one day, and at that point in time, I was working over in Clarksville, and I hung up the phone, and I felt defeated. I felt like I was going to have to accept something that I knew God had something better. He was the one that told me to stand my ground and get a new one to begin with. That's why I was fighting so hard. Look here, all God's got to do is say, sick him and I'll fight. I mean, by all means, Lord, tell me which battle to fight, because I'm a fighter. I love it. Okay, well, and I started crying. I hung up that phone and I said, God, I'm just weary. They keep telling me no. I don't like to be told no. I don't like that word. Heather, do you? Glory. And I said, God, just tell me what to do, because if you're wanting me to just stop arguing with these yahoos about this car, I will, because see, it's stressing me out now, God. They've got me to crying, and when I go to crying, there's going to be a problem. He said, no, Kelly, stand your ground. When you're up in that battle, there's going to be times where you just want to give up. You can't afford to do that. Giving up is not in the cards. Kayla worked for me for a while, and I'd say, we don't take no for an answer, Kayla. Call them again. You're a child of God. If you're up in that battle, know who you are. Know who you are. They called back about 30 minutes after I had just had my crying fit. They called again. I said, yes. The salesman's name was Happy, which was just twisted, because he didn't make me very happy. And I said, Happy, you've accomplished getting me in a terrible mood, let me just tell you, okay? And I'm going to tell it to you like this. Don't call me back telling me no anymore. Do you understand? Call me back when you're ready to tell me yes. And I just let it ride. There's some things God done told you. He done told you. And because it don't just happen, lightning come down and hit the planet and make it line up, because the theatrics of it, we get all beside ourselves. And I do that all the time, so I'm not talking down to anybody that does it, because I'm queen of that, okay? But God already said, he already said. So they called back a couple days later. And I thought, oh God, what am I going to do now if he's calling me back again saying no? I didn't say what I said. I got to stick with what I said. I said, hi, Happy. I hope you're going to make me happy. He said, Kelly, we've never done this, but we're going to do exactly what you've asked. Precision. Precision. The fervent, effectual prayer of a righteous person avails much. Be the righteous person. You know what I said to him? I didn't skip a beat. I said, well, Happy, I'm glad you came to this conclusion, and let me tell you something for the record. There's a first time for everything. There's a first time for everything. See, you may be told a million times no. A million times. Go back to what God said. Did God say yes? If he did, stick with God. There is a first time for everything. Just because it's never been done doesn't mean it can't be done. You got to know who you're working with. You got to know, and you got to be able to hear his voice. See, the word says, now my sheep, they hear my voice, and a stranger they won't follow. You got to get close to God up in that battle, because see, God will tell you things ain't never been done before. And you got to know when to hold them. You got to know when to fold them. Got to know when to walk away. Okay? So let's move on. And so he said, you know, you've come at me with all these things, but I come against you with the Lord Almighty and the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied in this day. See, not tomorrow, not next week, today. This day, the Lord will hand you over to me. See, this day. See, he was confident. So many times in the battle, we lose our confidence. David didn't lose his confidence. He kept his identity that God had given him, and he said, no, today. See, what's going to happen today is, see, God's going to give you to me. God's going to hand you over to me, because I was the one person that would just step up to the plate and just do what God said to do. So today, Goliath, you're wrong. See, you pulled this stuff for like 40 days, but today is different, because today God Almighty is handing you over to me. See, you got to know when God says yes. And when he says yes, hellfire and damnation couldn't keep you from it. And I'm going to tell you, hellfire and damnation will probably come. But look here, it won't work. It won't work. Know what God said. Know what he said. Go with it. Be happy with it. Say, God, I don't see how you're going to do it, but I believe your word. See, what did Jesus' mother say? Well, how will this be? The angel told her. Exactly what you say. Okay. God, I'm going to go with it. See, you don't got to question God. You just got to believe God. And so here he is, and he says, all those gathered here will know that it was not by sword or spear that the Lord says, for the battle is the Lord's. The battle is the Lord's. So when you get in the battle, whatever point I'm on, I've lost count. You got to know that that battle that you're in, it does not belong to you. So don't take ownership of it. It belongs to God. Let him have it. If you have your little hands on it, take your hands off of it. Take your hands off of it. Back up and say, God, I realize I'm in a battle. God, I realize I'm in a trial. God, that thing is not bigger than you. Lord, that thing belongs to you. So, God, I give it to you. I give you the battle. Lord, the battle belongs to you. God, I'm going to wake up every day until I see the victory, and I'm going to thank you for the victory. There was a point in my life that I'd gotten very down, and I was on the stairs of my house, Brother Alvy, and I was crying, and I was on the phone with my dad, and I said, I don't know how I'm going to get out of this. I cannot take this one more day. I've been in this for a long time, and I'm tired of being sick and tired. And look here. I said, Dad, here's what I knew. I said, I'm sorry that you're going to have to watch me go through this. But I want you to just watch me go through it. I don't want you getting up in the middle of it. Look here, you got kids. You take somebody's head off for your kids. There's things I would do for my kids. They ain't even legal. All right? We do anything for our kids. I said, just watch, because, see, I got to do this, me and God. I can't live off of your faith. Can't live off of mother's faith. I got to live it for myself. So I'm asking you to sit on the sidelines and just pray. Just pray. Look here. When God took care of that situation, it was like it never happened. I was like, woke up one day and that was over. I was like, God, where did it go? It was done. The battle belongs to the Lord. You can't take that battle. It doesn't belong to you. So when you take something that doesn't belong to you, it's going to weigh you down. It's going to weigh you down. God wants you to be happy. He wants you to have joy. He wants you to go on and make a difference and do what you've been called to do. You taking up the battle that belongs to the Lord, you're going to have a hard time doing that. People, they spend years in a state of trying to be God. You can't be God. God is God alone. Don't do his job. Let God be God. Let him be. And so, as the Philistines moved closer to attack him, David ran quickly toward the battle line to meet him, and he reached in his bag, and taking out a stone, he slung it and struck the Philistine on the forehead, and the stone sank into his head, into his forehead. Why was that? Probably because it was smooth. Back to the precision part of the battle. God may say, take the next left. Okay, God. And then you realize there was a three-car pile up ahead. If you wouldn't have took that, you'd have been one of them. Precision. Precision. God may ask you to do things that don't make sense to you. Precision. So that stone, it sank in his head, and he fell face down on the ground. So David triumphed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone, without a sword in his hand. See, without the thing that would normally do the job. Forget normal, because there is no such thing. Okay? Stop trying to handle things how everybody else handles them. Let's handle them how God said. And so David ran and stood over him, and he took hold of the Philistine's sword. Here's where I really love David. He took the giant's sword. And he did exactly what he told him he was going to do about 30 minutes before time. He said, no, God's going to give you to me. And today I'm going to defeat you. And then he took the giant's sword. He took it. And he cut his head off. See? What was the giant going to do with that sword? Well, he wanted to cut David's head off. God took that sword, gave it to his kid, and said, okay, son, you're the one with the courage. Go take care of this. So that day, the giant was defeated by somebody that just was obedient. And not only was that giant's head cut off with a sword, it was cut off with his own sword. Let's go to Psalms chapter 18, verse 39. And here is David. Here he is once again. And he's telling God, you equipped me with strength for the battle. You made my adversaries bow at my feet. I want to tell you today, if you're in a battle, if you're in a problem, if you're in a trial, I want to tell you right now, God has equipped you. God has equipped you with the strength to get through it. He has equipped you. A lot of times we tell God, I can't do it. Yes, you can. I said, God, I can't take one more day. I was sitting on them stairs. I remember exactly the stair. He said, Kelly, you can take it one more day. Look here. One day I woke up and that was it. See, one day you're going to wake up and the thing that's caused you so much hurt and disappointment and weariness and stress and anxiety, God's going to help you with that. I'm telling you today what to do until that point. Know that God has equipped you with everything that you need. Everything that you need, He's given it to you. Let's go to John chapter 14, verse 1. And in the beginning we read and we saw where David said, don't lose heart over this Philistine. Don't lose heart over that. And here we see again in John chapter 14, verse 1. Do not let your hearts be troubled. So today, if you're in that battle, here's something that I want to say to you as your pastor. I could look each one of you in the eye and I could say this with complete confidence. Don't let your heart be troubled. It's a let thing. It's a let thing. Kayla, we let it. We let it. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. And I am going there to prepare a place for you. I want to tell you right now, if you're in the battle, if you're in the trial of your faith, what I want to say to you is God Almighty. See, Jesus, He's gone to a place that look here, you're going to go there. You going. Don't let the momentary trouble hold you back from realizing the big picture is this right here. He said He was going to prepare for us a place. In that place, there are no tears. In that place, there is no sickness. There is no disease. There is no infirmity. There is no depression. There is no irritation. There is no stress and worry in that place. So when He tells you, don't let your heart be troubled, because I've done gone ahead of you and I'm going to that place. And right now, He's preparing it. He's preparing it. So don't let what you're going up in right now ruin that for you and get you mad at God. There's no room for you to be mad at God. Look here. God loves you. He gave everything He had for you. There was nothing that He held back. He gave it all. That's why He has the right, Mama Dale, to ask us to give it all. When He says, give me every problem, every hurt, every weariness, every sorrow, why can He do that? Because He did. See, He gave it all. He gave His Son. And I don't know about y'all, but a lot of times I've been ungrateful and terrible about that. I wouldn't give my Son for a bunch of ungrateful folks. I'd be like, no, I'm keeping my baby. God wasn't like that. When it came to us, He didn't spare anything. I'm asking you today to give it to Him. The battle belongs to God. If you weary, a part of that you've worn yourself out trying to hold something you could never. I'm asking you to trust Him and with confidence say, God, I give you this today. God, I give it to you. God, help me to have the courage to leave it with you. See, we give things to God, we take them back. We give things to God, we take them back. And then we wonder why the situation really never changes. Well, because you're changing all the time. Consistency is a big deal. It's a big deal. Sweet little gal I knew, she said, Pastor, what's my problem? And I said, you're not consistent. David, he knew who he was. When somebody tried to put something on him that he knew it wasn't him, he said, that's not me. He knew that God was with him. He knew that he could do it. He knew that God had called him to do it. He wasn't intimidated by it. He went with it. If you're in that battle right now, I want to tell you that God's with you. God's with you. He will not let you down, and by golly, he will not be late for you. I'm going to ask you to give that thing to him. So, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going. You know. You know. So act accordingly. When God says, you are my child, you are the apple of my eye, know that he loves you. There's nothing he won't do for you. If a mountain needs to be moved, he'll move it. If a mountain needs to be moved, guess what he's going to do probably? He's going to get up in your ear when you've gotten up in there in your prayer closet, and he's going to say, speak to that mountain right now, and you tell it to go. See, God can do things, but see, God also gave us the authority to do them. He said, if you'll have faith, you can look at that mountain square in the eye and tell it to go. What did it say, Brother Ernie? It says that David approached the giant. He looked at it. He went right to it. And he said, no, today you've defied the living God. And you're going to pay. You're going to suffer because of what you did. And I'm going to cut your head off with your own sword. And I'm going to show you who God is. He showed them all. Last place for me, Ephesians chapter 6. We're going to look at verse 10. And it says, finally, at the end of it all, finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Everybody say his. Not yours. His. So many times we're measuring up and we're looking at what we have and it don't measure up to what we need. It's okay. God's got the slack. He's got the rest of it. So it says, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's scheme. Why is it important to put on your armor? So you can stand against the devil. So you can. Not your husband, not your mama, not your kids. So you can. See, it's a you thing. It's a personal thing. Put on that full armor so you can do what God told you you can do. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood. So many of what we're fighting, you're thinking, I just can't stand that person. Not the person. The battle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers and against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. When the day comes, maybe that day has come for you. Maybe you're in a battle. Maybe you're in a trial. Get your armor on. Not anybody else's. Get your armor on so that you can stand. So that you can stand. And after you have done everything to stand, stand firm then. I wasn't planning on preaching that message at the beginning of the week. See, why did God call me? Because he knows I'll just tell it like it is and I'll say whatever he wants to say. I'm good with that. So today, if this word has put you in that place where you realize there's been an issue there and you're having trouble up in that battle, you're struggling, and you realize now that God doesn't want you to struggle, I'm going to ask you to stand because, see, we're going to pray. We're going to pray. See, the Word of God says, where two or more are gathered together, there in the midst of them, there I am. I'm right up in the middle of them. See, I'm right there. if you're struggling, if you're having that battle and you keep coming up in that place where you say, God, I don't know what I'm doing wrong. Look here. The battle belongs to the Lord. The battle belongs to the Lord. God, in Jesus' name, Lord, you see every person, Lord, that stood. God, they need help. Lord God, I ask you right now, God, to help them. Lord, direct that heart, Lord, in the battle. God, I thank you right now for confidence, God, that you're there. Lord, and I ask you to do things, God, that's never even been done before in their situation. Lord, for the mountains that need to be moved. God, I thank you that they're removed, Lord, right now. God, and I thank you for victory, for breakthrough. God, I thank you right now. And Father God, I call it done right now in the name of Jesus. Amen. We will be tonight. We hope to see you. We love you. And if y'all need anything, you know that we're just a phone call away, a text away, a visit away, with whatever you need.